Listening, Part 3. You will hear someone talking. You will hear the person twice. Complete the information. Write short answers of 1 to 5 words.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Audiomentary, your radio documentary. Last week, we looked at Mission 31, the project in which Fabien Cousteau, grandson of Jacques Cousteau, spent 31 days living in the last existing undersea habitat research lab in the world, Aquarius. For those of you who missed it, the aquanauts, that is, the people living inside Aquarius, weren't the regular staff, but marine biologists and underwater engineers. Specialized photographers paid some sporadic visits too. The inhabitants experienced the unique challenge of living underwater for over a month. This week, we're looking at the humans behind the project. So, what happened to their bodies? Well, saturated diving is a type of diving that allows the body to gradually soak up inert gases by staying at depth for a long time. These gases would harm a standard diver by expanding, like, the bubbles in a shaken bottle of soda when the diver returns to the surface, causing pain or injury to the lungs. With the team sleeping in the base at depth and never surfacing, the divers were free to dive for 2 to 8 hours daily, as opposed to about an hour maximum per day that a regular scuba diver can achieve, without suffering from decompression sickness, which can last for 3 hours or more. At the end of the mission, the entire base was slowly brought back to normal pressure so that the gases escape the diver's body safely. Ear infections were a common ailment. However, antiseptic solutions were used to take care of them quickly before they worsened. In fact, some aquanauts swore that healing times increased and that cuts could heal overnight thanks to the high-pressure environment, which was 3 times the normal pressure at sea level. Other side effects of living underwater were related to the lack of natural elements, like, for example, the sun or the wind. The former didn't lead to poor vision, yet it caused reduced vitamin D production. Also, when the aquanauts returned to the surface, they were distinctly aware of the sensation of wind, which they had not even realized they were missing. Last week, a listener was curious to learn what the aquanauts actually ate. Well, they surely ate a lot. You see, the extended dive time and thicker in-habitat air pulled heat from their bodies much more rapidly than a normal sea level atmosphere would. And the metabolism in their body needed extra energy to maintain body temperatures. As for the actual menu, in the beginning, the habitat was positioned near land and aquanauts were catered fresh local food like beans, rice, and lobster. Later, their choices diminished as the base was relocated and they ate rehydrated, freeze-dried camping food, which was high-calorie and varied. Another issue that came up was sleep. In the habitat, because of the exhausting nature of being in the water several hours a day, and because even time inside the habitat was busy, the aquanauts slept well at night. Still, some complained of difficulty in sleeping due to outside habitat lights when reflected back into the bunk room by fish. The habitat does, however, have plenty of white noise from carbon dioxide scrubbers and the reef creatures. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Audiomentary, your radio documentary. Last week, we looked at Mission 31, the project in which Fabien Cousteau, grandson of Jacques Cousteau, spent 31 days living in the last existing undersea habitat research lab in the world, Aquarius. For those of you who missed it, the aquanauts, that is, the people living inside Aquarius, weren't the regular staff, but marine biologists and underwater engineers. Specialized photographers paid some sporadic visits too. The inhabitants experienced the unique challenge of living underwater for over a month. This week, we're looking at the humans behind the project. So, what happened to their bodies? Well, saturated diving is a type of diving that allows the body to gradually soak up inert gases by staying at depth for a long time. These gases would harm a standard diver by expanding like the bubbles in a shaken bottle of soda when the diver returns to the surface, causing pain or injury to the lungs. With the team sleeping in the base at depth and never surfacing, the divers were free to dive for 2 to 8 hours daily, as opposed to about an hour maximum per day that a regular scuba diver can achieve, without suffering from decompression sickness, which can last for 3 hours or more. At the end of the mission, the entire base was slowly brought back to normal pressure so that the gases escape the diver's body safely. Ear infections were a common ailment. However, antiseptic solutions were used to take care of them quickly before they worsened. In fact, some aquanauts swore that healing times increased and that cuts could heal overnight thanks to the high-pressure environment, which was 3 times the normal pressure at sea level. Other side effects of living underwater were related to the lack of natural elements, like, for example, the sun or the wind. The former didn't lead to poor vision, yet it caused reduced vitamin D production. Also, when the aquanauts returned to the surface, they were distinctly aware of the sensation of wind, which they had not even realized they were missing. Last week, a listener was curious to learn what the aquanauts actually ate. Well, they surely ate a lot. You see, the extended dive time and thicker in-habitat air pulled heat from their bodies much more rapidly than a normal sea level atmosphere would. And the metabolism in their body needed extra energy to maintain body temperatures. As for the actual menu, in the beginning, the habitat was positioned near land and aquanauts were catered fresh local food like beans, rice, and lobster. Later, their choices diminished as the base was relocated and they ate rehydrated, freeze-dried camping food, which was high-calorie and varied. Another issue that came up was sleep. In the habitat, because of the exhausting nature of being in the water several hours a day, and because even time inside the habitat was busy, the aquanauts slept well at night. Still, some complained of difficulty in sleeping due to outside habitat lights when reflected back into the bunk room by fish. The habitat does, however, have plenty of white noise from carbon dioxide scrubbers and the reef creatures.
You now have 30 seconds to read through and check your answers. That is the end of part 3.